Welcome back to Crunch Time, and we've talked about a lot about Geelong so far after their performance last night. Time to turn our attention to Port Adelaide, and it's not a pretty picture at the moment after we thought they was getting back on track, but last night they fell short against the Cats. And our old mate from Crunch Time, Michael Voss, of course, who dumped us after a year and went to rejoin the coaching ranks. Not sure what he thinks about that decision right now. Vossy, great to have you with us again, mate.
Oh, I've got the tissues out, lads. I miss yous a lot. It's good to be chatting to you.
Disappointing last night. I mean, you started pretty well, but by quarter time it was basically level. So what was your overall assessment of what went wrong on a night where there was a huge number of stoppages?
Well, it seems to be pretty consistent in our games. Even last week we had about 150-odd. Seems to be a lot of stoppages in our game at the moment. But it was certainly pleasing the way that we started. Bit of a shootout sort of early, but certainly playing some good football. But it's a little bit symptomatic of how our season's gone, really. We've had some really good patches and at times breathtaking football, but we haven't been able to sustain that for our four quarters, and that's how we find ourselves in the position we are.
I know it's always the problem of the difficulty of a coach of trying to put a finger on why that is the case, but have you and Ken got any theories on why?
Oh, well, it's changed a little bit, I must admit. The spotlight's changed a little bit. It sort of started as one thing and sort of moved to another, and and we've sort of tried to address those as they've arisen. Certainly over the last month, I think what happens is in these times is that we've just got to make sure that we stay consistent with what we're trying to achieve and implement what we believe in and make sure we get it done and keep working and do that. And we understand that an opposition is going to try and take that off us, but we've got to continue to be persistent and get what we want.
Vossy, Maxi, mate. Two things stood out to me. One of them I'll ask you about just firstly was the way that they played Lobie, the way that Stanley kept running to full forward and dragging him all the way back so that they knew that Blitzarves could always take the ruck if he couldn't get back in time. Yep. Did you ever look at that and think, oh, we've just got to tell Lobie, you just got to stay around the ball and play as a normal ruckman and let someone else clean that up knowing you had the plus one behind the ball?
Yes, that was certainly discussed. They did it very well. Obviously, we want to make sure that we've got accountability there, but clearly our strengths is making sure that we've got the right players around the ball, and he's one of them. That'll come up in our review for sure about how we, stay to our strengths. And I guess that's what, we're referring to before about, sticking to what we need. We rely on that outside cover or that player that's behind the football, as you highlighted, to be able to make sure that he can address that situation. And then we've got to have the trust that Loeb's has got to have the trust in, and that's got to get done. So certainly it was happening throughout the match. It was certainly a topic of discussion throughout the match for us, but it seemed to consistently happen. So we need to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
The other one for me, going back 12 months, I know you probably don't like looking back at what was happening last year, but from half back, Port would, as soon as they won the footy, they would just go. They'd go the fat side. They'd go quickly by hand. They'd go by foot. They'd go with their legs just carrying the ball. It just looks to be really stagnant at the moment where they'd mark the ball and just want to go back down the line. They're not working for each other, and it just looks like players aren't prepared to take those risks to go out the fat side.
Yeah, and it's certainly not something that Ken isn't highlighting. If it's one thing that I know in terms of what's been talked about a lot is about being able to play brave and being able to take those risks and understand that they don't come off all the time, but there's a certain style we want to play. And I guess that's probably what I was referring to at the start, is that we understand that teams are putting a lot of work into that to ensure that it doesn't actually happen, but we've still got to be persistent enough to want to take those options. And it's amazing what does open up and how your game flow does eventuate off the back of it. So it's just something, again, we don't necessarily need to change, but it's certainly something we've got to enforce a little bit more and certainly execute better.
Vossy, nice to have a chat again. Look, you guys last night, you've got to try to plan and set up for the way that you want to play the game. You played a plus one. We've just spoken to Harry Taylor, who just had the biggest Cheshire grin on his face about the fact that they were allowed as a senior body team to be able to sort of orchestrate their plus one the way that they wanted to do it. What was the discussion in the coach's box throughout the course of the game of whether that was working for you or not working for you? Obviously, Matty Broadbent had a lot of the footy and was a very good player. How did that discussion go between what Matty was doing at one end and being able to actually get through at the other?
Yeah, well, I thought that's probably where the game was a little bit early. It was very much an effect of how much influence ours could have versus theirs. And it certainly appeared that both teams were happy enough to play another number around the footy. That was something that we did talk about. But as the game went on, it became more of a concern. And certainly across the game, we tried to address it even, very late, making sure that almost our six forwards disconnected from the play to make sure that happened. So it was an issue for us. It was a big talking point, and consistent addressing was required throughout the match. They, as you highlighted, they were a very experienced group, and they just worked very well as that back six, and they worked off one another exceptionally well. And of course, not just Taylor, but Corey Enright was probably the one that, in the end, was probably the biggest influence across all of them.
I thought this was a comprehensive game. I look at the scores and it's nearly four goals. Doesn't read that bad. But when you consider after 12 minutes, you're 31-16 in front. You only have four scoring shots in the second half of the game. I just want to read some numbers to you. They were plus 23 in kicks. They were plus 33 in marks for the game. They were plus 14% in kicking efficiency, and they were plus 16% in scores from inside 50s. To me, that is close to total domination of three quarters of the match. I don't think this was almost not a contest after 15 minutes into the game.
No, I think that that'd be a fair assessment, and that was certainly ours. When we looked at the scoreboard at the end and saw the scoreboard as only the 23 points, I think even Kenny highlighted in the box, it was somewhat flattering to us, because we just couldn't get our, after half time, probably somewhat content, a few signs through the second quarter that we need to change up a few things, but certainly the last half, we just couldn't get anything going, and you sort of start chasing the game a little bit, I must admit, and we just weren't able to execute very well. And that's where the consistency comes in. And that's where we've got to be better than that. We've got to make sure we absorb whatever pressure or whatever strategies are being thrown at us and work like hell to ensure that we can get what we want. And, unfortunately, we made far too many mistakes across the night to try and get any continuity in our game.
Vossi, great to talk to you again. Mate, I hope you're enjoying it despite the losses. I need to ask you, when did you realise that you were in trouble with Blixarves and Stanley compared to what people watching the game, who might have thought it might have been 20 minutes later than what you guys think? When did you know we've got a pretty much an emergency in that situation?
Oh, not so much an emergency, but certainly it was problematic in parts in the first quarter, and it was clear about what was happening. But it was a significant part of the game. But it was something that we needed to, as was already highlighted, we need to be better as a team to be able to ensure it's not about necessarily that particular matchup. But we've got to be good enough as a team to cover that. We've got systems in place and plans in place to ensure that if that does happen, that we can stay what we need to be able to get done. So, and clearly that wasn't done to how we wanted it.
Are those systems in place, are they of your development as midfield coach, is that something that Ken Hinckley looks over? And just to let me finish this. When the domination started, is Ken looking at you for solutions? Or
no,
does
absolutely.
He say, Vossie, yep. I thought we had a plan for this. What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. That's quite right of the head coach to ask the questions, because when you come in and most teams have put energy into making sure that Blitzarves, and Stanley gets around the ground and you have that strategy in place. Whenever anything is not going as planned, it's the head coach's right to put the beady eyes in the back of your head and start asking questions. And whether that's got to do with matchups or whether that's got to do with plans that aren't working, it's certainly up to us as assistants to get on the front foot and try to provide solutions on the back of that. And I thought we were pretty proactive in that, I must admit. But across the night, they certainly had the better of that duel.
Just last question on that. There's a couple of times where I can remember Wines, there'll be other players, they were deciding whether to go up with Blixarves as a third man up or stay on the ground. What was the instruction?
Certainly initially was to ground him. We've seen that certainly very effective recently, but he provides an interesting matchup in there. He's certainly he's certainly got some size about him. He moves around, the big fella. So it's a weapon that they've been able to develop within their game, and probably only eventuated this year from what we can tell, and it's been very, very effective. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of sides that'll be looking at that and sort of seeing that, you know, how do we get around that? How do we counter that? How do we make sure that it's not effective?
Last one. He got Pendlebury in that game at the MCG. So I'm thinking to myself last night, if Pendles is having trouble with him, God help everyone else, because I think Pendlebury is such a smart tactical player, and I thought Pendlebury looked confused going against
him. Why do they play the Dockers and Nat Fife's got to deal with him?
Oh, they'll like that, I think. Anyway, it was interesting, and it's going to be interesting how people coach against it in future times.
Vossi, I want to speak to you about your coach, because I don't think you've actually coached until you coach in a situation where you start to get questioned, you start to lose some games. The coach, and rightly so, absolutely 100% rightly so, has had a beautiful honeymoon period of 2 years. Walked in, he's been the messiah in South Australia since he's walked in the door. All of a sudden, for the first time, I would think ever, well, certainly as a senior coach, he's now confronted with some challenges that he's never had before. How can you help him, having been in that same sort of seat? How do you help him work through a bit of that?
Oh, I think every discussion, every Monday morning, I mean, as a collective, you know, we obviously have our head coach, which is Ken, but as a collective, we sit down every Monday and we pull apart the game and tease it, and we talk about the discussion and our way forward. And, you know, of course, we're going to give our thoughts on that. And Ken's got a pretty clear picture. And the one thing that I think he does very well is that, you know, once he gets it, you know, pretty clear, he's pretty fast in making his decision about the way forward, and I think you need that as a leader. You need to be able to make those decisions fast and sometimes under pressure. And I think he's been, you know, through this period of time, I think he's been fantastic. I think he's been really clear. You know, he sets a really high standard for the group, and a high expectation for the group in terms of what we expect from one another and what he expects from individuals. And I think that that's fantastic. But our test now is to ensure that we stick to what we believe in, and we stay absolutely keep training it, and don't get into this chase mode of what you can do in this situation and start to change the spotlight all the time onto different things. We've got a certain way we want to play. At the moment, it's not going 100% right, but it doesn't mean that you change it. You just got to make sure you keep pegging away at it, keep being consistent in it, keep training it. Training it the right way, and it does turn for you.
But boys, one, John Witherus is up here waiting to chat to us. So one last question for Vossi.
Well, just all of mine was going to be, Vossi, is where does it sit? Okay, you plan that, but for the first time ever, you're going to have some people, you know, footy clubs well enough that you're going to have some people behind the scenes that are going to be start to questioning a few things about where you're at. You've got a really tough draw on the run home, being a top six side from last year. Where does that mindset go to in the second half of this season?
Oh, well, the mindset doesn't change for us, Terry. I mean, you know, we understand that externally there's always discussion, and whether you're going well or not, there's always a chatter about how you're playing when you're playing well. Our challenge is to put that all aside, appreciate and accept the reality of the situation, but, you know, really stick to what we want to be able to make sure we get in place and make sure that we just keep improving it. And, you know, we've seen examples of it before where teams haven't started their season that well. I mean, Richmond last year is almost a perfect example where they, you know, they started the season not so well, and then they adjusted a few things, and then they finished off the season really, really strongly. And you only do that if you stay consistent, you stay strong, you stay together. And that's the only way through it. And that's what good football clubs do, and I expect Port to do no different.
Vossi, we appreciate your time. We'd like to have had more time to chat to you about how you're enjoying Adelaide and some of those lovey-dovey things. But
that'll be juicy, Hutto.
We'll do that later in the year. We'll catch up with you again. Good luck for the rest of the season. Thanks for being with us.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Michael Voss, assistant coach to Ken Hinckley, joining us there. Harry Taylor joined us earlier. And after the break, a bit of a change as we move from last night in the Cats and Port to today, and indeed the future of the Gold Coast Suns. John Witherup, the chairman, who has been pretty ambitious as a leader of this club. Things obviously haven't come to hand as he would have liked. We've got some interesting questions for him. I'll be looking forward to his answers.